Hello, if you just joined us, you're watching Stockwatch. Tackling your questions in studio this evening, David Shapiro from Susfin Securities, Wayne McCurry from FNB Wealth and Investments. Don't forget to send through those questions, SMS 41392, or email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using hashtag Stockwatch. Jane, this evening, thanks for joining us. A down day, the resi was up literally 1 point, everything else more than a percent off. When we spoke last week, that if Trump and Xi could make some sort of...
And the market went up for a day.
For a day, and then they all looked at Trump's tweets and said, we're not so sure.
Mm. Look, I mean, there was... And this will continue until a deal is signed or not signed. So what happened overnight was that a couple of tweets came out from Donald Trump and you said, okay, is this deal off? Was there ever anything? Markets took an almighty crack, minus 3% and almost minus 4% in the NASDAQ. Then overnight, after the close of the US market, China came out and said, no, look, everything's good, everything's cool. Trump didn't tweet anymore. Some US officials came and said, no, we're working on it, and I think we see an end being positive. And that's why our market was down only 1% along with other markets.
Yeah. Where
there
the
was
US
a little bit more
three.
Positive rhetoric. But we're going to get this up and down days, and it's on, it's off for a while now.
Yeah, and today the US markets are closed for the funeral.
Yeah, and the big word... Well, the big phrase next year is going to be inversion. You know,
I've got a question around inversion.
This is the latest thing.
Park that for a second, David. Surely, I mean, whatever you might think of Trump, at some point, some cool heads prevail, and he's done it before. He did it with NAFTA.
He has to do it every time.
I think he has to do it.
Negotiating tactics.
Because I think it's going to start reflecting on the economy, and a lot of the consumers are going to be impacted. And also, we don't know even manufacturers. I don't know. I don't think the car manufacturers, Ford and GM, who are both cutting back, I don't think it's a direct impact of increased steel prices. But it is one. It's a contributing factor. I think it's more what they are producing and also modernizing their whole fleet and direction. But somewhere down the line, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt him. So I think he has to start moderating. Trump's Trump.
Yeah, but I mean, ultimately, a tariff is a tax on the voter. I mean, that's how it works out. Yield curve inversion. Inverting yield
latest
curve.
Latest word.
Yeah, wait, because as you said, this is the big word for 2019.
It's like when technical recession came out. The media and everyone's just latched onto this.
So help us understand.
Okay. What it is when short-term interest rates are higher than long-term interest rates.
Okay.
So what it means is... Every single time short-term interest rates have been higher than interest rates in the past, it signaled some sort of economic slowdown. In other words, the cost of money's gone up. Interest rates are going up. So that's effectively what it is, and we've discussed this many, many times. Now, you get inversions and you get inversions. Mm-hmm. Right. Technically, it's an inversion at the moment because the short-term rate's longer than the long-term rate. But understand they're massive degrees. Now, in the past, when you got inversions, it's because of one underlying reason. Inflation is rampant. And there the short-term rates go much higher than the long-term
rates. An expectation that longer-term inflation will be under control.
Correct. So, and that does bring an economic slowdown, if not a recession. So if you look, 1998, 2002, 2008, 94, 86, 87, they were all preceded by an inverted yield curve, but an incredibly steep one. In other words, short-term rates were significantly higher than long-term rates, whereas now they are only just above long-term rates.
A couple of points.
And
we don't have inflation as a problem.
And I think that's the key. Previous inversions, the underlying driver of it was higher interest rates because of rampant inflation, whereas now the underlying driver is just a return to normality for interest rates. So clearly, there is a growth slowdown coming in the US and the world, but it's a growth slowdown, it's not a recession.
Yeah, key difference. And the US is coming off high levels.
Simon, one of the big points in this market is that we were talking about interest rates going up in the US, the Fed raising rates. Mm-hmm. And as they raise rates at the short end, you expect at the long end, the 10-year, to go up. And at one stage, it was 3.25%. It's come all the way back to 2.90. And what happened is the 3-year went above 280 and the 5-year is at 280. So that seemed to flip everybody, you know, and that started to become a big talking point yesterday, you know, inversion.
Well, we can get you
slow down.
Yeah. Our viewers can get ahead of the curve and stop dropping inversion into your year-end function and start seeming extra smart.
And then you can blame inversion for everything.
That's also a good point. Yeah, blame inversion. Good. Didn't get your KRAs, inversion. Questions coming through Rhodes Food Group. Your thoughts on it? It's had a tough time.
It has had a tough time. And it's one of these disappointments of 2018, because it was a group that people had very strong views on and really was makes a very good product. But I can't remember whether it was, Mar Baker, the pies in Pietermaritzburg. Some of the acquisitions just started to fall back. And Simon, there's a commonality, with a lot of groups that have been kind of patched together. You know, to an extent, Rhodes Food was one of them. You saw today Lipstar as well, under a lot of pressure. Also, just kind of putting groups together and then starting to fall back. It doesn't work that way. Companies that are successful are those that grow organically over time, slowly adding acquisitions. And I think Rhodes Food is probably a victim of perhaps trying to expand too fast.
You know, when you look in our recent history, companies that bought a lot of things quickly have actually taken pain. Mm-hmm. They truly have.
It hasn't worked.
And it hasn't worked.
Yeah.
The biggest example is SAB, AB InBev.
Well, yeah.
That was a massive acquisition at a huge premium to the share price. That share's taken lots of strain.
That's a good point. And oddly enough, SAB was one of the few examples of acquisitions working for them
massively so.
Actually did incredibly well. Quickly on AB InBev, I note today, from the JSC, the index rebalancing on 24 December, AB InBev moves into the all-share index at number one spot, the Indy 25 at 24 spot, but not the top 40.
Yeah, they're not big. The index track is the top 40.
Yes,
I don't think there's going to be any desire to go out. It's very nice. It'll influence the direction of the all-share index, but I don't think it's going to be bought like for tracker funds. I don't think there's any tracker that covers all 150.
No, far too much hard work. Question coming from Clyde. He picked something off Bloomberg. JP Morgan says cash better than stocks for the first time in a decade. Probably talking US, not telling us time frames, but I mean, certainly, but in the US, cash is yielding nothing.
Nothing, but it's probably right in the shorter term. We've had a decade of unprecedented equity returns driven by unprecedentedly low interest rates. So some sort of return to normality would be correct, but you should have made this call the beginning of the year.
They're
a year late for it. Yeah. But to be totally honest, probably right for another short while. But understand, the cycle is turning. Interest rates long term are probably at their peak. Short term rates have got a little bit more to go maybe, but the Federal Reserve is already talking that we are at equilibrium balanced or close to interest rates. So I'm actually starting to become a little bit more bullish.
Market's already responding. It's already saying at worst we're going to get 3 interest rate hikes next year. This is the US. I think the consensus is 2. So that's baked into the market. Any move away from that will get market going up. So
yeah, and we've seen Jerome Powell.
But I think we need the full quote, because it's unusual to say that, you know, that cash will be better than the market unless they see a massive fall in the market coming. And there are enough stocks that give you much higher dividend yields there.
Actually, that's a good point. Because you get nothing in the US. A bunch of questions coming through. One of them, particularly on palladium, which for a brief moment today was above the price of gold. Catalytic converters, obviously, predominantly into China and US markets. Platinum, mostly into European, if I've got my markets correct.
Yeah, it's actually more the diesel, non-diesel story. Mm. Understand, diesel in the Europe is now a swear word.
Yeah.
No one buys a diesel car. But also, I mean, it's interesting the way it works. Is obviously starting with VW, but in the moment people worked out, hang on, no one wants to buy diesel and the price of the second-hand cars have plummeted. You won't buy a diesel no matter what you think, because you say, I'm going to get nothing for it when I sell it. So it's almost self-feeding. I mean, literally diesel is it's dead in Europe. And palladium is in petrol cars. So that's why the catalyst and that. But it's interesting, quite a big premium at one stage of palladium over platinum. The mere fact that palladium's gone higher than the gold price, I think, is completely irrelevant. That's just, it just is
random.
But there's no
platinum's on the other way. Platinum's 794. It's below 800.
The trick, and I did some digging into it, the conversion, if you're using palladium and you want to switch as a manufacturer to platinum, used to be take a bit of effort, but apparently it's become a lot harder because they've gone down that road a whole lot more.
Yeah. Look, you can use any catalyst in anyone.
Yeah. Wayne,
but
isn't
the current
Sibania,
production is different.
Isn't Sibania palladium? Isn't Stillwater?
They've got some palladium.
Huge palladium in America.
Yeah, but Stillwater is also mostly a recycler. So they mostly
recycle. They bought recycle, but they got a huge CapEx project for the actual materials.
Yes, for the actual materials. Yeah. And recycling is a weird one. You don't recycle cars in America unless the steel price is at the right level. So truthfully, it's about iron ore. If iron ore goes up, they'll recycle more, and that will then put pressure on the platinum. And there are palladium ETFs and ETNs, Standard Bank and Absa have
both. At some stage, these shares are going to soar. It just might only be in 10 years' time. Because at the moment, the cost of production is way above market price.
Yeah.
And that, is unsustainable.
Yeah, it can't go on forever.
It has
to correct. What about Intu? I mean, Intu is a Brexit story. The Brexit vote is next Tuesday.
Yeah.
But Theresa May is already losing stuff. Dividend. And she had it's just going.
It's odd because I tried to cover it today. It was one of those days. I tried to read a lot, and strangely the pound is quite strong.
Yeah,
there's a view that they will come out with some deal, that they will not leave the European Union without some form of deal. Whether she survives it or not, or what shape it's going to take, or what form it's going to take, no one's quite sure. But I also read Mervyn King's analysis. You know, he's vehemently against this kind of deal and that. But I think there's a view that they'll survive, that they will do okay, regardless of what, that the economy is a lot stronger than perhaps the discussions around Brexit's taking place. So
does that make a beaten down stock like Intu perhaps attractive?
That's what I'm trying to fathom that. Why, the deal pulled out of the deal.
Yes.
So therefore, that premium that was there was taken away.
There was two deals.
And that's too narrow. And a lot of it is around the uncertainties of Brexit. No one's going to go into a deal of that magnitude knowing that, with the uncertainty ahead. But somewhere along the line, I mean, these are not... Britain's been around for thousands of years, ever since the Romans went there. I don't know how many thousands of years. Covent Garden, which is Capco and these places...
But look,
Hammersons
that's very different.
And that. Yeah, I know.
Very
they've all suffered as a result of that.
Yeah, because they bought Earl's Court and converted it into not low cost housing, but dense housing. Mm. Hasn't sold at all.
Yeah, but Intu was the dividends as well. Remember, they've got capital projects, and they said they're holding back on the dividend. They're not going to pay a dividend to retain cash for projects. I think that scared
Intu. Big shopping centres scattered across the UK.
Yeah, not Covent Garden, which is sort of premium land in a sense.
Covent Garden is truly premium land.
Yeah.
But I mean, even they had to sell, Kensington Olympia Conference Centre, because they were also going to convert that into some sort of housing. And they bought the Earl's Court, which also hasn't worked. So they're lucky they've got the gem.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I mean, Capco's talking about splitting those up at the same time.
Yes. And I think justifiably so, because Covent Gardens is just a gem.
Yeah. It is the asset
So I suppose you've got to work out your own intrinsic value, work out what they're going to pay, what they're likely to earn, come back to a level.
In this case, I mean, Intu's well
below. Don't go to the NAV that they give you.
I was going to say, it's well below the net asset value, but you've got to
work it out yourself. What am I likely to earn on Intu over the next few years, discount it back, get to a value if it falls to that?
I mean, just irrelevant information, but both Intu and Capco are South African origin.
Donnie Gordon from Liberty International.
That was their insurance policy properties.
I think if you look there, the Gordon family is still big holders.
Time for a quick break. Keep sending through your questions via SMS to 41392 or email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. Right back after this. Welcome back. Let's take a look at how international markets are doing. US, of course, closed for the funeral of George Bush. So FTSE was down just under 1.5%. CAC around 40 out of Paris, France, 1.33%. And DAX in Frankfurt, Germany, 1.25% down. Still with me, David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities, Wayne McCurry from FNB Wealth and Investments. What about African Rainbow Capital, Patrice Motsepe's business? Got some interesting assets, Time Bank, the other one, what's that?
They rain.
Look, they've got lots of assets, and they've got the two yuans there.
Yes.
Which are not, these are not small hitters. These are serious business people. I think we've got to let it sit for a while, and let's see what they can make out of their investments.
Start giving us some returns and some indications.
Look, I mean, they've got the myriad there. It's not just two or three.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's a myriad.
Yeah. Rain's their big one, but they've got a lot.
And Rain and Time, going to be a long time till you actually make money out of it. Big capex there. Mm-hmm. Big capital investments.
Now, and new banks is not easy. We're going to see that from Discovery.
To take on the big players, you need lots of cash.
Yeah. I think everybody expected a little bit of a spurt in Discovery's price when they announced the bank. And in essence, it's gone backwards. It's still battling. I don't think they built in anything for the bank at all. I think there's a lot of competition as well. And don't forget, you're in an economy that's going nowhere.
You're stealing clients. And Adrian Gore said it's 5 years to critical mass at best.
Yeah. And you saw, I was looking at Sunlum's numbers today as well.
I think it's 10 years.
I was looking at Sunlum's numbers coming down with the market. A lot of good commentary, a lot of...
I saw that. Some nice commentary.
Very nice
and then
commentary.
You
get to
the bottom.
Then you get to the bottom. Minus 10%.
No, when I did exactly it, I read it and I thought, why is the market pushing the share down? This looks good. No, that's quite encouraging. This looks quite nice. And then you get to the very last paragraph, paragraph 49. It says
minus
earnings are down 10%. Okay, now I know why.
So in other words, start at the bottom and work your way up.
And I think Old Mutual, MMR, they all came down. Why I bring it up is just to... Things are rough. You know, things are tough. The market's not going. You know, market's down this year, having been up last year. And when you go into new services companies like that, you can do it against an increasing, where demand is increasing.
I mean, lots of other companies, as we spoke about earlier, lots of other companies went big and bought big and didn't work. Mm-hmm. It's the first time Sunlum's gone big by buying the SAM. It's the first time they've gone big.
They've always done small little bolt-ons.
This is a big one, and we'll have to see whether it works or not. Obviously, they're incredibly confident, but we've got to see.
Yeah, I mean, their contract states they need to be confident.
Is the fact that the name is nearly Sunlum, was that coincidental? What's it?
Saham.
Which is probably Sunlum in Arabic. Question coming through around HCI, which got a bunch of assets. E-Media, of course, Soho Sun, holding company.
It's funny, I haven't looked at it for a long time. And I mean,
I know some people use it as a really discount entry into Soho.
I don't know what they've got anymore, in fact, to be honest. And I haven't valued it for a long time.
Golden Aero Buses in Cape Town.
No, I'm shrugging my shoulder out of ignorance, yet. Not really.
I don't know.
I haven't looked at it.
Okay. I know Keith McLachlan likes it as an entry.
All the things about GPI in the paper today and the shareholder.
GPL.
Revolt.
GPL. Yeah, that meeting is probably still ongoing.
It started at 6:30.
We'll see how that goes. Question came through earlier on my Twitter stream, Ascendus, what's happening below 4 Rand? So the one story is quite simple. There's one director who had some geared positions and has been a forced seller. And in fact, today at the SENS announcement, he also had some debentures which have been forced, he's been forced to give up and put equity into it. I have my views on that, which are, it's terrible. I think management should stay away from gearing positions.
I was just going to say, thank goodness the chart came, because I think it's about a fifth of where it was.
It hit 25,
Look, it started off as well as a small pharmaceutical company. I didn't quite,
But this was one of these ones which was, I mean, back in the day, and I remember criticizing Noah Greenhill around it with the LTX listing boom in 05, 06, 07, those sort of PowerPoint listings. And we had them again in the dot-com boom where, get five or six
and
exciting names. Put a great PowerPoint together. And Ascendus was kind of that as well.
You just it's spreadsheets. You just merge the columns. And it doesn't work like that. Yeah. And I think they made a lot of acquisitions in the hope that everything would gel. And so there was no natural progression.
And a big acquisition in Europe and Euros. Yes.
It's a lesson to everybody. I mean, an academic lesson.
I don't know whether whether this is one of those, but there's actually a lot of cheap shares around at the moment.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cheap shares, a lot of, let's say, well-liked shares by the market of a year or so ago that have been pounded.
That are quality and just taking a significant, and they might be having a slightly tough time of it. Is Coronation one of those? I keep on getting asked the Coronation. Yeah, 9% yield.
You just need a bull market, and this thing flies.
Yeah.
But the same with Rhodes Food, as we spoke about as well.
Rhodes Food's got a fantastic product.
Yeah. What about Tongaat then? Question came through at a steal at 67.
Tongaat, they didn't sell land.
Like they sold half a hectare. We could have each bought another half hectare and quadrupled
there. That's a big worry. You know, that always, surely with all those sugarcane fields, there was going to reach saturation point.
You couldn't keep,
you know, the economy wasn't growing fast enough to absorb all of that and develop all of that. And I think that's where they came unstuck, as well as the sugar price. You know,
now,
the sugar price
is
notorious.
I'm steering well clear of heavy cyclical.
I'm with you on that one. Yeah.
I've still got to go for the resource shares, but quite frankly, they're less cyclical than the agricultural or the fishing shares. These things are just, if you get them right, you make a fortune and you look like a hero.
But if you get them wrong, incredibly that stock was difficult. Probably peaking around 145 a year or two ago. I bailed it at 114 and it just carried on falling and falling. And nothing went in its favor. I mean, its starch business was under pressure, land didn't happen.
Well, all three of those used to contribute. In fact, before that, you had Hulamin, which contributed to the whole Tongaat group. And now,
of course, there's
Hulamin, which they, and Hulamin's also gone through huge problems. I mean, and it's when it listed, I think it listed at 40 Rand. I don't know where it is now. When it first listed,
it's a tough industry.
Very tough.
What about Novus?
Oh.
No,
it's just a printer or what?
You've got us there.
Okay, we'll move from there. Question coming through earlier around the banks, that surely they've got good balance sheets and low impairments, decent dividend yields. Yes, growth going forward is likely to be modest, but they've got the growth. Mm. Surely they're well priced.
Yes, exactly.
No. I mean, almost pick a top five.
I think if things start to stabilize, like we saw the GDP numbers now, I think you'll start to see things pick up slightly.
I don't know whether this will happen or when it will happen, but we just got to get some clarity on land. The global interest rates are going to stop going up. You just got to get an election outcome that's favorable for the ANC. You've got to get a bit more change in government ministries and SOEs. Interest rates are going to stop going up in America. And you could have a very strong economy in 2 years' time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really strong.
Well, certainly a better economy than we are at the moment.
Yeah.
Much better.
Yeah.
And sure. What Wayne said is not impossible for all of those
consumer,
things to happen.
Despite everything you hear and see and talk about around dinner tables, and that consumer gearing is not high in South
Africa. It's not high. And we can see it in
part. So just got to change circumstances, sentiment, slightly better political setup. People will spend
money. See that from the Reserve Bank report. We also see it from the impairments at the banks, come down at, in some cases, 45 basis points, which is absolutely
nothing. We
won't
do it alone. I think we need the global economy to help us. And that's a major support line.
So we need Trump to make friends with China quickly. Before we go to stock picks, question around Growth Point. Property is generally cheap. Growth Point owns some great assets in this country and some
of
Australia.
If you're going to go for either Redefine or a Growth Point in there. I just looked at property companies. I was absolutely staggered by the huge amount of losses that
I think they were the best asset for about 15 years.
And that's what caught a lot of people. Mm. You've got a lot of people who do, let's call it statistical investment management, where they look at the returns in the last 5, 10, 15 years, work out the risk of the variation and volatility in that returns. And lots of guys came up with an answer, 40% in property. And they got clean.
I mean, I'm heavyweight property. I'm 15 because I'm that, and I've had some pain there. Let's go to some stock picks. Wayne, you're going with Sasol.
Sasol as a share, forget everything else, is incredibly cheap relative to its past, and let's chuck in some good things. Lake Charles Chemical, it's done.
Yeah,
the money's spent.
Yeah,
it's in the share price at a negative price. And that can generate $600 million, $800 million profit in 2-3 years' time.
Dollars.
And there's a big OPEC meeting tomorrow where they are virtually certain they're going to cut production by 1 million barrels a day, which you should get I don't know, $5 higher oil price, maybe a bit higher, that will all boost Sasol.
Yeah.
And Sasol now, for the first time in 10 years, because Lake Charles is finished, is going to spit cash.
Well, that's it.
Because they're gun shy. They are not going to spend any capex for the next 10 years.
Because Lake Charles sucked $11 billion.
It should have only sucked $5 billion.
Exactly.
And it sucked $11 billion out of cash flow. So no, they are properly gun shy.
Okay, cool. Sasol. BHP Billiton. Or BHP these days.
Just on a good feeling about where the global economy will be. You know, that we're coming to the end of the rate hiking cycle and things will start to improve. I think sentiment broadly will improve. China's coming to the party. I think we've seen the worst of it. So I think it's another share that I think is bottoming. I haven't been a great commodity bull now, but I think at these levels, like Wayne in Sasol, I think Sasol in the low 400s, BHP where we are now.
No, and BHP is giving probably $1 or $2.
Oh, yes. Also, the dividend. And, you know, they're much more cash conscious now. I don't think they've given the dividend now of the sale of their fracking assets. I don't know if it's been paid out.
It hasn't been paid yet.
Not yet.
But it's going to be chunky. Half for buyback, half for dividend. It's $1 or $2.
Yes.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to our guests, David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities, going with BHP. Wayne McCurry from FNB Wealth and Investments with Sasol. More of your stock-related questions tomorrow. Till then, have a good evening. Yes.